Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Go to Genesis chapter 30. Start from verse 25. Now you know, last time I told you how the blessing of God takes you from place to place, and how you do not get attached to any place. Remember that? And then I gave you an example of the children of Israel, of the cloud moving. But I want you to know that that is temporary, as far as God is concerned. Because His ultimate decision is to situate you somewhere which is your place, not to keep on moving you. Amen? But that lesson of the wilderness is necessary for you to learn how to trust Him. Because if you get situated immediately, you trust in every other thing but Him. But now He has to take you through that period. Now, what I'm trying to tell you here now is that the time for us being situated is now. Eh? Amen? And I am telling you this by the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eh? Like where you are situated, this is my place. Because He said, you're going through the wilderness, but this is not the final destination. This is not the end game. The end game is I'm going to take you and give you a what? A land which belongs to you. Praise the Lord. To give you a what? To give you a what? To give you what? Now, the reason I'm asking you to repeat that is because on Wednesday, when I finished recording my my message, talking about, of course, like, and you even heard it in from the word of prophecy, but talking about how fast the dollar is crumbling. Then somebody came and asked me, one of our, you know, people came and asked me that. So now before we used to say I'm going to be a millionaire in dollars, so now what are we going to be a millionaire in? since the dollar is crumbling. And now, like, you know, that's a legitimate question. Because if the dollar is crumbling, yet we are looking to be millionaires in dollars, eh? Are we going to be millionaires in shillings? I don't think that's very appealing. Eh? Or in anything else. Or in what? God knows what. But then, you have to understand that money, whatever the currency, whatever currency, is not made by God. Amen? It is just a construct of men. Dollars are just colored papers, a construct of men. When God is blessing, He blesses in land, silver, gold, cattle, tangible things. That's where the real blessing is, you understand? Eh? Because the reason the dollar is going to collapse is because the Americans are going to print a lot of them. And they are doing that already. But now if you have, let's say, 100 acres, is anybody going to go and print more land? God made land and put it there. Nobody is going to add or subtract. It is there. Now that's why when he's talking about blessing people, he says, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you what? He does not say, because any other thing, all these constructs of men, dollars, shillings, all that is deceptive. Actually, it is the biggest form of deception, so that people do not see where the real value is. Because when God is blessing you, He gives you value. Value is things like property. Okay? Now, whatever currency they decide to use from now, if you have your piece of land and you want to sell it, they will give you. Isn't it? Yeah. But if you have dollars in the bank, you might go to buy land and somebody says, ah, your dollars are useless. In a time maybe not so far from now. Now it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children. This is real value. Eh? And I'm joking. For whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. Now, you know the story of Laban and Jacob. So after 20 years of toiling for, okay, maybe 14 years or so, of toiling for his uncle Laban, Jacob realizes that it's time for me to go and look after my own house, to go and do something for myself. Now, first go ahead. And Laban said to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience. Somebody say by experience. Say it again. Say it again. That the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Now, why this is important is because Jacob does not go to Laban and tell him, can I tell you something? I am blessed because my father Isaac was blessed and my grandfather Abraham was blessed. And guess what? I stole the blessing and I came here with the blessing. Do you know how I stole the blessing? Imagine if Laban was doing something, maybe scrolling on his phone. I'm just imagining. And he's telling him that story. He doesn't want to know. The stories of your blessing are of no importance to the world until they've learned by experience. In other words, I now have seen. Now, when you talk about I'm blessed, Laban can relate because he has seen it by experience. He had his few sheep until you came. Now the sheep have expanded and have grown bigger. Now he says, I've seen by experience. Now the purpose of God is for the blessing that you have to come from the realm of talk to the realm of experience. Amen? In other words, I am blessed. This is my land. The other one is my building. And what? You know what I'm saying? Eh? Now when I'm saying that, don't think about how it is going to come. Think about who is going to bring it. And that is who? Yes. Because you see, you disqualify yourself by thinking that you're going to go through the process that other people have gone through. You're not. You're not going to have to go through that process. You see, there are certain scriptures which you have to know. Like when God says that he gives to the wicked the work of gathering, that he may get and give to those who please him. Now, whom is he talking about? Now, imagine somebody's work is to gather. That is the process. Now, if you fall in love with the process, you will not see the grace that brings things. Because you go and read books how somebody got rich. And then you want to follow his footsteps. And you discover that he got rich at the age of 80. And you're 25. Praise the Lord. Now then you're in serious trouble. But you see now, this other way we are talking about here. By God, there is no process. Like God, the process actually is so much in you. I'll tell you a bit of that. It says, I've learned by experience. In other words, I've learned with something I can see that you're blessed. There are times when, of course, our blessing has been of a benefit in certain ways. But now it has to be of a benefit in tangible ways. Where now we have to speak and there is something to show for it. Amen? And now we are talking about ownership. Otherwise, you are like Jacob telling Laban, can you imagine, man, I went and tricked my father, what? He doesn't want to know. For him, he wants to know, since you when you came, I had this number of cows, now I have these ones. That is the experience he's talking about. Now, the Lord has blessed me for your sake. And now, you see, here is the thing. They know very well that it's because of you. And you might think they don't know, but they know. And he knows what his trajectory was or what his increase was before you came. And he knows what his increase was after. Like that story I told you of those people were my land. Okay. From whom I was hiring an office. There at whatever. Renzori Towers. Where they come and they know that when you came here something changed. And they know, and they even know it better than you. Then I said, what changed? They said, we had been looking for tenants now. Since you signed the contract, now every day different people are coming and taking up tenants. And then these are not born again people. Actually, they were both Kenyans. not even born again. And they said, and we know it has to have something to do with you. That's what they said. And I said, what? So they told me, so what does the watchman do? Because when they said company, I said watchman. Then they would just see me coming and sitting in my office. Those days I used not even to see people. I would just come there with my laptop and sit down. I was writing some, you know, books and stuff like that. So they came and told me, so what does the watchman do? I said, why are you asking? Then they told me that thing. That it has to have, now, that is by experience. Now, if I come there and tell them, you know, I'm the watchman, eh? I am blessed. They don't want to know. They want to know by experience. Eh? Those other stories, nobody wants to know. Anyway, go ahead. Then he said, name your wages, and I will give it. Now, let me tell you something here today. That statement you see there is the devil's biggest trap. When he wants you to exchange your blessing for wages. Amen? Because as long as he's the one paying your wages, you will never be above him. There is no dominion unless you are in control, unless you are in ownership. And you see, there are some people who know it. Even here in Uganda, there are people who know it. And there are those who don't. I was talking to some gentleman who stood for MP in a place somewhere. And he was telling me, the place is in Buganda, but it has so many, you know, different tribes. Let me just say that. But you know, he told me that he went there and he saw a pattern that has been formed. The Baganda don't value land. They sell it. And they buy border borders and what. Now the other ones, for them they buy. They even do all sorts of things just to make sure they have ownership of the land. Now that thing started like 20 years ago. But now, guess who are the masters? Guess who are the masters? The ones who don't have money, but they have assets. You understand? You remember last week I told you of that man whom I used to teach English? Do you know that man came as a refugee here and was working in people's farms? But he had a mindset which is different from the people whom he found. Let me tell you, all this is about mindset. The man had a mindset of ownership. And that's one thing I respected him for. Because he used to tell me, of course, in a bragging way, that you see that person there, I was a laborer in his garden. But now he's my farm manager. In other words, the guy came and the people whom he found there are now working for him. Because for them, they were looking for money. For him, he was looking for what? Value. Ownership, real value. Now, after some time, when I went to his farm there in Kasanda, you would stand and there is a hill and a hill and a hill, all of them of his nanas. And the people working in the sun and what? And all the people working in the sand, he bought them out of their land. He found them owning land and he bought them out. Now he's the owner of the land. Because of his mindset. Not through any favor of anybody. No. He just came with a mindset that for him he wants real value. And the other ones wanted money. They wanted, so they named their, that when somebody comes and tells you name your wages. And he has said, I'm seeing you're blessed. How much salary do you want? You know he's trapping. That's a trap. Because how do you exchange a blessing for what? Imagine you fought for the blessing. Then you go and exchange it for wages. And now this is what the mindset which God is. That, and it's a kingdom mindset. The reason the other one is important of us understanding the blessing is for us also to learn how to trust God. But now at this stage, we are talking kingdom. Kingdom is about ownership. You say that he has made us kings and priests. Is there any king who doesn't have a place that he owns? over which he has territory. So if you don't, we still need to see by experience that you're a king. Maybe a priest you might be. But we still need to be seen by experience that you're a king. Because you see, you can't be a king without jurisdiction. This is my territory, without power, without ownership. Actually, in the stricted sense of kings, kings even owned people, you know that. So, anyway. So he says, name your wages, and I will give it. Now, this is the turning point at which all the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, was going to end with Jacob. And there would be no blessing after Jacob, because he took wages in exchange. Somebody says, just tell me how much money you want, I'll give you. Okay, I want this. Then he says, okay, now work. Now all the blessing, and doesn't go. It is just transferred. Amen? Because when you received it from Isaac, it is going to be with you forever. But you just sold it. So now the person whom you're working for is going to be blessed. And you would have been blessed continually, because it's just about changing ownership. Anyhow, so, and I'll give it. Go ahead, next verse. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house? Somebody, I want you to notice that your children do not inherit your salary. Praise the Lord. But they inherit your property. Amen? So if you exchanged your blessing, which could have given you property, for a salary, your children are going to have to be slaves again. Just like you were for Laban. So he says, I have to go and look after my house. In other words, I have to go and accumulate things which I'm going to give to my children. Forget about your salary and your wages. That is not going to help me. Praise the Lord. Now, this might not necessarily mean that, you know, you don't. But my point is, you have to have a mindset of the kingdom. Kingdoms is about expanding our territory and our ownership. What you own, God owns through you. Amen? What the kingdom, the people of the devil own, the devil owns through them. Anyhow, so I also have to go and provide for my household. Go ahead, my own house. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob says, you shall not give me anything. Now, you see, that's the thing. I don't want anything from you. Because if you give me, it has to be in exchange for something. And the only thing I have now is the blessing. But I value that blessing so much that I am not going to give you, to take anything from you. Because, let me tell you, nobody gives you something and there is no exchange. So if the only value that you have is the blessing, and somebody says, what shall I give you? He's saying, in exchange for what? You know what I mean, eh? So he says, you shall give me nothing. If you do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. Now listen to this. I want you to see that. Go back. How many of you have ever seen a speckled sheep? Eh? Even speckled goats are a bit rare. You see, eh? So he chose something which is, if he had said, I want all the white sheep, this guy would say, you want to cheat me. So he says, no, I want this. The ones which are very few, maybe even some were not there at all. So now when Laban hears this, because Jacob is thinking spiritually and Laban is thinking there. Now when Laban hears this, this shall be my wages. See what Laban says. Next verse. First of all, Jacob says, so then my righteousness will answer for me in the time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. Then now Laban says, and Laban said, all that it were according to your word. In other words, you have tied your own hands. You are a father. You see, because he saw this guy has made a big mistake. How can you ask for something like that? How many times are you going to use a speckled sheep with different, or even goats are rare? So he said, this is, then Laban says, all that it were according to your word. In other words, I am totally okay with that. Let's sign the contract. So then he accepted, but Jacob knew what he was doing. So go ahead. So he removed that day from the male goats that were speckled and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons to go and look after them somewhere else. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Now I want you to know this. You know, sometimes the Bible does not have, the Bible does not have idle phrases. When he says he put 3 days' journey, there's something about 3 days. I'll tell you this, even when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, the Jews had a tradition that when somebody dies, they are still within the realms of coming back for 3 days. And after 3 days, that's when they are considered completely dead. That's why Jesus waited for the fourth day. Otherwise, if he had come before 3 days, they just say, his spirit was around there. And by the way, there is, of course, there's a truth to that. I'm sure you've known that you feel spirit sometimes, you know, and you know this person hasn't yet gone. But I don't want to tell you things which will mess you up. But you see, especially people let me not go there. But you see now, the 3 days, 3 days is considered to be like cut off. That's why Pharaoh, when the children of Israel wanted to go to the desert, he said, just go 3 days journey. Because after, once it goes beyond 3 days, you've lost sight of him. You understand? So he says, temugenda nyo. So now the don't go far is 3 days. Because he's thinking, if you go on the 3 days away, that is within reach. I can pull you back and make you back my slave. And that, now he was negotiating after some of those plagues. 3 days. Now here he says, so Jacob put 3 days away. Now let it be there. And completely separated them from Laban's flock. Now, you know the story, but let's go through it now. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. Now, in other words, he was putting out a very, very powerful spiritual principle here, by the way, which until you learn, you will not know what it means to bypass all the processes and you go and own property. Through very simple, by bypassing the property. Because Jacob understood that there were very few speckled animals among them. But he wanted them to be many. And then he knew that the animals, when they come to mate, when they come to drink water in the trough is when they mate. So they conceive when they are drinking the water. You understand? So he put the color of the animals he wanted to come out in the water, so that when it is mating and conceiving, it's looking at speckled. And then after some time, they started giving birth to what? Speckled. Now, this is a powerful, powerful spiritual principle. Like, it is so powerful. If it was not in the Bible, it would be witchcraft. You understand? Because it is there. And by the way, this is how you bypass a system. Now, so he did that. And now he became smart, because when there were weak animals which were coming to drink water, he would pull away the speckled thing, because he didn't want weak animals. Then when he saw strong sheep or strong goats coming to mate, then he puts it there. Now, of course, imagine the female is looking down, drinking water, but beneath the water they are speckled. And the male is doing what males do. And then they conceive. And then they give birth to speckled, because that's what they were seeing. Praise the Lord. You know, let me tell you. Believing is seeing. Now, don't turn it the other way around. The other way around is demonic. But when, if you believe something, you actually see it. And then you know that you can look and know that I can get this. This is within the realm of reach. Now, when we are going now out into ownership, you have to gauge what is within your realm. You see, eh? Now, the reason the enemy played games with us those days, because we used to do those things. We would teach this, and then we go and go around these crested towers and say, I've claimed it. Now, and man, people would make fun of it. But there is a truth there, only we are misusing the truth. You understand? Eh? Number one, we are not yet at the level where we can actually believe for it. But if you can believe for it, you'll get it. But you can't yet, maybe. You see, eh? So, now when you're thinking about, first get something which you say, this one I can believe for. And then you believe for it. When you get it, you'll see how easier the second one comes. But now you're not thinking about, the reason I was saying the other time is because people want to own things for the purpose of safety. That, you know, I'm nang. Even if things become bad, at least in our kayumba kang. No, that's not what God wants you to think. Eh? Like, he wants you to own it out of kingdom. This has to enter the kingdom of God. Eh? That what will this land, we claim this land for the kingdom. What about the other land? We claim it for the kingdom. What about here? We claim, you see, eh? Now where are you thinking kingdom? And you as a servant of that kingdom. So your ownership is an ownership of the kingdom of God. You understand? Eh? It is not you selfishly wanting to own, although like you owning is a good thing as far as God is concerned. But it's not selfish, it is for the kingdom. We are claiming this for the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Now what this man did here is a very powerful spiritual principle, by the way. Very, very powerful. And now some of you might start with this. But let me tell you, somebody asked me, when you are envisioning something, somebody here asked me, what shows that it has actually gotten inside you? Let me tell you, the clear envisioning or seeing is the easiest thing if you know how to make it work. If you're struggling to make it work, you even have a picture, then you have not understood the concept. Amen? I'll give you an example. If you're a young man and there is some beautiful girl whom he wants to marry, and he has her in his head, let me tell you, if you still need a picture, then you have not envisioned properly. When you really have gotten to a certain place, you can see her without seeing anything. You understand? You know what I'm saying? I'm giving you an example which is so easy so that some of you can relate with it. So easily. Like when you really are interested, like at first you might need a picture or you might need to see her, see the way she walks, do what. But that is for the beginning. After some time, it becomes a part of you that you don't have to even see any picture or anything. The picture is already so firm inside you. And then it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Now, replace woman with house. With land, you understand? The picture becomes clearer and clearer. And you see, when you see it, you can see it without, you wake up in the morning, it's what you think about. You're seeing it. At night, you're seeing it. Now, the reason I've used the example, because it's so much easier for people to attach to things which have emotional value. Eh? But you see, you also have to put an emotion into some of these things for it to actually become clear. Then the picture becomes clear, clear, clear. After some time, the picture is so clear inside you, even if you stop, it's already in the process of coming to you. And there is nothing that will stop it from coming because the picture has been planted clearly in you. Now, this is what Jacob did. Now, so the flocks conceived before the rods and the flocks brought forth strict, speckled, and spotted. Go ahead. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flock face towards the strict, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flock by themselves, and did not put them with Laban's flock. Now you see, this is also very important. Because if you want this female lamb to give birth to speckled, you cannot just do it when it is conceiving, no. So he took away Laban's flock, which are not speckled, you understand? So the sheep, even when it's feeding, it's seeing speckled. Feeding, it's seeing speckled. The ones which are not speckled, he took them away. So the only thing it is seeing is what? So when it even conceives, it's seeing what? So it has to give birth to speckled. Now, if you do not know how to separate these two, and you're trying to use both, now, you're looking here, you're seeing ownership. You're looking here, you're seeing her. You know, then you look here, you see something else, you look here, you see, now you confuse yourself. But you see, now Laban made sure that the only thing his flock saw was what he wanted them to give birth to. And that is exactly true for all of us. The one thing which you put in front of you and you actually see is what you're going to give birth to. And he's, okay. And it came to pass whenever the stronger livestock conceived that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. Go ahead. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants. Now where did he get the servant? And camels and donkeys. Now imagine, of course, like servants come when you have value. You understand? When you have value. Now, go ahead. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. Now, this is also a very, very important principle. Like, when the wealth, you know what, like, it belongs to somebody right now. But it's going to be, God wants to give it to you, you understand? Eh? And you see, that's how God does. He tells the children of Israel that the land I am taking to you to is not empty. There are people who dwell in it. And they think it is theirs, but I'm going to displace them for you. That is God. Like, he's not taking you to an open land. Otherwise, what's the point in it? Imagine if he took them to a land which is uncontested. It would have no value. But he says, the land I'm taking you to has inhabitants. And it has people who swear that it is their land. But we are going to dispossess them. Now, Laban got his wealth. I mean, Jacob got his wealth from Laban's flock. God did not create another flock for him. No, from the Laban, from the heathen's flock, you get your own. Praise the Lord. Now, when you're talking ownership, you look and look somebody's things. As long as they are heathen, they are the Labans of this world. And it is fair play, as far as God is concerned. That's fair play. Go and get, as far as he's concerned. Now, this is exactly how it happens. Like, you take of what is not yours, and you own it, and it becomes yours. Because God has given it to you. Because you are the one who has the blessing. Now, if you actually do have the blessing, it has to amount in you taking away what other people have who don't have the blessing. People who have toiled. Then you come and just... Then some people will say, in our way. But Laban did that with the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. And this is, you know... Okay, go ahead. Now he says, from what was our father's, and Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. Now there is nobody who was... wealth you are going to plunder and he's happy with you. It's not going to happen. Let us just be friends. Who told you? When you've taken the man's house, you're not going to be friends. But it's okay, you'll find friends from this side. You know, some people. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Praise the Lord. Now there's something here which I want us to see. Okay? The people of the world get their wealth through toil. For us, we get our wealth through inheritance. Amen? We get it through what? So, when you are inheriting something, your qualifications are not a concern whatsoever. The only thing that matters is your son. Amen? Whether you're stupid or what, you're qualified if you're a son. And whether you're very sharp and very intelligent, if you're not a son, you're not what? It's just that simple. Inheritance, the rules are very simple. You're either in or out. A servant does not inherit. Only sons, and by sons I mean also daughters, only sons inherit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, but of course there has been an issue with, you go to Romans chapter 8 verse 16. You know, let me tell you this. The reason it is going to be a very difficult, sometimes for some people, especially out there, to believe these things, to actually go and actualize them and make them come to pass, it's because they have a servant mentality, and it is very prevalent in the church today. People who think like servants, they have no idea what it means to be a son. They have no idea what privilege it is to be a son. They only think like servants. You know, some lady came to me. She was brought by somebody who, so she came from a certain other, you know, came from a church and what, and somebody who used to go to a church and somehow came to Watchman, and she came and met him, and somehow his life is better. So she asked him what happened, you know. Then he says, let me take you. I'm not anyone's Musumba. You see, but she came. So she started telling me her issues. She said, you see, me and my husband, we've worked hard, we've done this, we live right. We live in holiness, we don't sin. But man, brokenness. She said, now you see, we don't even have money to eat, nothing. We have nothing, nothing, nothing. The marriage has even got, the husband has just left, not because he has an issue with her, but because of Mbeda, so he left and went to the village. So she's now home alone. And by the devil can hammer, and he loves hammering believers, eh? And because he wants you to curse God. Yet it's not God actually who is hammering you, you see. So, and I saw her and I really saw that, you know, tight. But now, of course, I didn't have time. So I did have time to tell her that here, your living right does not change anything. Amen? It might actually, let me tell you, the most difficult people to minister to are those who feel that they have any merit that is of their own. Like they are so difficult to minister to. The first thing, if you are going to be a son and an inheritor, get rid of all the merits you've built for yourself. You know the other one, Baribari Muchibin, me, I'm right here. So, like you are never going to get anything from God with that attitude, never. You see, eh? Like, and that's why even believers struggle to get healed. The great evangelist T.L. Osborne said that he finds it much easier to pray for people who are not born again, who even don't believe, who even don't know God. They don't know anything. And they come and they get healed of powerful things. Lame walking, blind seeing, what? And they don't know God at all. He says he finds it easier than people in the church. Do you know why? Because in the church, they come and start trying to qualify. There is no qualification. Like, they try to be good, to be worthy of the miracle. And that is, you'll never get anything from God when you're trying to be worthy. Never. Like you come, somebody who is a Buddhist, what comes? He just hears they are praying for people. He comes, ooh, miracle. Because he's not under any pretensions of the fact that he deserves to get that miracle. No, he's coming because God is good. You understand? The only merit is of God. When you go to God, when, you know, the only merit you have. You know that song which used to be sung by Billy Graham? Just as I am, without what? without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. Eh? Now that is it. You come to God, I have no, I'm all these fake things. Eh? The only plea I have that your blood was shed for me. Now you will get anything you want from God. Like, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. In other words, I come with nothing. I have no plea. If you are going to court and you say, Sazizamu sango bichiwara, but you say, I have no plea. The only plea I have that you shed your blood for me. Then God says, yeah, that's the only plea you need. What do you want? Inheritance. Praise the Lord. Go to Colossians chapter, first of all, we'll come back here. Now, if you want to see this mindset, you see the story. And now this is a very, very powerful story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son. It's in Luke, I think, Luke 14. Man, that story is very powerful in all sorts of ways. Here is a son who knows he has a right to inherit. And he says, give me my share of the inheritance. And the father gives it to him. And he goes and does whatever it is he wants. Then he comes back. You go there. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the point. And there is a reason why he says the younger. Because it is that older church which still tries to have a merit. You see, eh? You understand? We have no merit apart from Jesus. That's the only merit. And like, when you know that, that makes you a son. A son can never be a servant, no matter what. No matter what sins he does. He's a what? And the rules that govern sonship are different. Anyway, the younger of them said to the father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Go when they... journeyed to a far country. They are wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Go ahead. But when he had spent all that he had, severe famine came in that land, and he began to be in want. Go ahead, very fast. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into a field. And then he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that were the swine ate, and no one would give him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Go ahead. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Go ahead. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Go ahead. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had great compassion and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, the man had come with a speech. Eh? A written speech. Make me like your servant. But a son can never be a servant. Like, it's not possible. Now, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy. Now, listen to this, worthy to be called your son. But there is no worthiness with son. Go ahead. Yeah? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. And he's about to say, at least send me to where the servants are, and I work with them. But can the father say that? He can't. Because he's a son. Now he says, and put on him, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet. Go ahead. And bring the fatted calf, and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Now, for this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, this is, now you look at the older, whatever. Now, his older son was in the field, as usual, living holy. And okay, as he came, now, of course, don't get me wrong. Eh? But you see, if you think, you know, people want, that is the flesh, which doesn't want you to accept that Jesus did all that for you. Eh? You see, So anyhow, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Eh? Can you imagine? You are in the field working, and then you come home, and you find your father, dancing. Then you say, what is this about? So he called one. Now, I want you to see the attitude, and this is so typical of the older son. You understand? The guy did not even go inside the house. Can you imagine? Like, how can you go to your father's house? And then he called one of the servants and asked, what does this thing? Imagine, like, you're going to your father's house. Imagine if my father was still alive and he has a house. And I go there and they are making merry. And I first stand at a distance and say, what's happening? Like, what kind of son am I? When you just walk in because it's your father's house and you have every right to be there. Now, he says, what's the meaning of these things? Eh? I'm seeing people dancing, what, you know? Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry. The son was angry. I would not even go in. Now, let me tell you, when we are owning property, these holiness people are going to be very broke. You will see them. Because they will not go in. They don't want to go in. They want to qualify. Like, they want to have merit. You see, eh? And God is saying, no. They have the son. Well, then he cannot even go inside the house. At least if he came from working and came and said, hey, man, there is some meat here. Then he also starts dancing and eating meat. Then he would behave like a son, but he cannot even go in. He's angry. And now that anger, I'm sure you've seen that anger, haven't you? That anger leads to brokenness. Like, the easiest way to be broke is that you get angry at people because they are rich. You get angry because they are living a good life. You get angry because you are going to be broke. I'm not talking about you. For you, you know better. Eh? Amen? Mm. Now, but he was angry. I would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Go ahead. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. Now you see, he's thinking like a servant. Like, even if you serve in your father's house, you're not a servant. You don't say, I've been serving. You know. Like, you're an owner, a part owner. And it says, I never transgressed your commandment. I've been living holy. At any time, did I ever transgress? I never transgressed. I'm holy. You see what Jesus is bringing out here? By the way, this parable is very, very powerful. It has like 1,000 messages in it. And yet you never gave me a young goat. Now imagine. You are looking after the goats. You are a son. You cannot even get one. If you got one, it's okay. You are a son. You are not a servant. You understand? Imagine your home and you find your son angry. Can you imagine? You've not even given me bread for breakfast. You see, there is bread there. Go and get it. Says, I didn't know that I was afraid. Like it is just so weird. Anyhow, and you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Go ahead. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Now, the father is trying to teach him something. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. But you're also a son. Now, for him, he's behaving like a son, although he's not, sometimes not behaving well. But at least he knows his rights. Now, when the children of God understand their rights, fully, and mature into understanding their rights, that is when, now, we are coming into proper ownership. Because, you know, it has nothing to do. Your work is to be on the receiving end. Amen? Just like a what? Son, receiving end. What is my work in this? To receive. You mean I'm not like, receive. Like, and now it is so easy, and yet some, anyway. Maybe our theology throughout the years has made it very difficult. But go to Colossians chapter 1, start from verse 11. It says, go to 12. Uh-huh. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, giving thanks to God who qualified you. You don't qualify yourself
Don't ever try to qualify yourself, because it's like you're saying God did not do a good enough job. Now he says, God qualified you, and you are perfectly qualified to be an heir. You are qualified for the inheritance. It is yours. But I'm going to give you some small kakwakulizo as we come to the end. Okay? What is kakwakulizo? Condition. I thought I knew better English than Uganda. Anyhow, giving thanks to the Father who has... Now, listen to this. Giving thanks to the Father who will qualify you. Is that what he says? He has already qualified you. You're qualified. You see, now this is difficult for Barokore to believe. Imagine you went and sat for an exam, and the examiner says you've passed, and you say, are you sure? Are you sure I've passed? But I feel like the examiner said you've passed. He's the examiner. He's the one who said the exam. Now he has said you've passed. What are you supposed to just celebrate and move on to the next class? But you're still saying, Are you sure? Let me look at the paper. Because I didn't think that. The guy said, what's your problem? You know, like these people sit for these professional courses, of accountancy courses and what, from UK. Now, there, you sit an exam, and they just tell you you passed or you failed. By the way, do they tell you the marks? They don't even tell you the marks. So they just say you passed. And then now that's done. You understand? Now, they don't show you a question paper. This is where you failed. This is where. No, that is irrelevant. You sat, you sent the paper, they mark, they say you passed. And that's it. So now go and get your job somewhere as an accountant. And do whatever accountants do. Anyhow, so, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified. Let me do one more scripture. Not one more, two more. First of all, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Go ahead. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God. And we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We are as much an heir as Jesus is. This is what he's saying. Amen? There is no difference in inheriting the kingdom. Jesus and us. Jesus, this is what the scripture says. We are joint heirs. We are in it together. We are joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. You get it in Amplified. Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor or the heir is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the estate. Now, the immaturity comes when you don't understand that this is kingdom. You see? Now, the people of the kingdom of the world are saying, 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. But now the Spirit of the Lord is saying, no, we are going to own everything and they will be the ones who are happy in progress. Because it's one way or the other. If you don't own it, the enemy is going to own it. Because it is here. There is the wealth that God made stays here. It is not going anywhere. So it's either in the hands of his children or in the hands of the children of the devil, isn't it? Guess whose hands God would prefer it is in? His children. But you see, they have to mature to the point of knowing that this is not just about like, you know, in a childish way. But it is about knowing this is a kingdom. If I don't own that house, it is going to go to somebody else. If I don't own this, it's going to go somewhere. You see? If I come somewhere and I come with the attitude of dominion, like everybody actually splits for my sake. I would give an example about here, but let me not. Praise the Lord. Do you remember the people we used to find there drinking when we came? Are they still there? The bulldozer came. it's the truth. Because there it looks like you're inconveniencing them. Because you are preaching, man, what people want to drink. But then eventually they realize that, man, the joint heirs have come. Praise the Lord. Now, like, and now if you actually had that attitude, that is the maturity. But as long as the inheritor or the heir is still a child, they don't differ from a slave. Even if the whole estate is theirs, but they are still children. So they cannot take control of the estate. But now, we have come to maturity. Praise the Lord. Because we know that we are servants of a kingdom. And there are people who want to inherit. Jesus said that the meek will inherit the earth. Not heaven. We inherit what? There is an inheritance here on earth for people. For us. And we have to. And now it is going to be accelerated. Let me tell you people. Eh? It is going to be accelerated. Because some of you might not even know how to receive it. But it will come by grace. You see, eh? Where you understand then view. Now we are starting with even us ourselves. You see now all these things which we hire, we are going to buy, start buying them. Because we have to live by example. But now let me tell you, if we buy these things and we buy grounds where we are going to be, and we buy everything that we need, and you have not shifted 1 inch. Eh? Remember the other pastor in Oima who had Chivoko? I'm joking. No, but you know what I'm saying. Eh? Like, stay it up. Stay it up, man. Like, because like, we want to move together. Eh? So that when we all this, you also go somewhere. And say, also me, I go to my kabanja somewhere. I'm going to start planting something. Or I bought a house somewhere. I'm going to start what? Living in a house without rent. Eh? And so on and so forth. And now, don't try to think how it is going to come to you. Just receive. Just go and say, Dear Lord, today, through the mouth of the watchman, you said that we are entering ownership. Kati now, me, Wendy one, let me start with this house. And kufunza it in your mind. Don't let it go away. You see, the thing is, people say amen, then go and, you know, that scripture in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus said that a word comes and the enemy comes and steals it immediately. And then it doesn't bear fruit. So you come here, you came here, you spent your Friday evening, you came here, wasted, no fruit. As soon as you leave, something happens which takes your attention and the word is snatched. And by tomorrow, you've even forgotten. Now, that is very sad. But then he says, others, you know, others fell on the rocky ground, others fell what? Then he says, but others, it fell on good ground. Somebody say, that's me. And it gave birth to 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So that now, after 6 months, you come here, and man, you're different. Now, you can show by experience that you're blessed. Not stories. By what? Experience that I'm blessed. Show by experience that I'm blessed. I'm blessed. How do you? That's my land. This is my house. The other ones are for tenants. At least funza. Okay. Don't make a mistake of starting too big. Too big. You can get there. When you start very big and you don't have the faith for that, you get discouraged. And then even you come down and you've lost, you know, the zeal to go for it. Start with something which but still by faith. For instance, the house you're staying in, if it is rented and if you want it, you can even go for one better, but don't go for a house of $2 million yet. Eh? You'll get there. You understand? Eh? But first on, like, you'll get there. It's just a matter of time. But start somewhere where you can actually believe God, that God, I believe you're going to give me this. And then you say, you spoke a word by the mouth of the watchman that I'm going to enter ownership. Now, I am believing for this land, this piece of land. And you go survey the land, look at it properly, surround it, and in your mind have that picture of that land. and even plan how you are going to build your house there, or how you are going to farm there, or anything. Like, just be with it. Don't let it leave you. Okay? Now, when you do that, you actually will mature, and after some time, you will see how things work together to bring that land to you. Praise the Lord. And man, there's a way they work together. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Then how do you know that you're almost getting it? Sometimes, somebody would even come and tell you that, you know the other land? They are selling it. Then you know that's the first step. Because the person was not selling until you started believing for it. Now already your blessing is beginning to shift it from somebody else to you. But now you haven't, you don't yet have it. But now that's the first step. Now when you get to that step and you look back, man, you're going to be like, you're going to kuswaza us. Once you get to that point where now you can even see it, like, enter in until you get it, until you have a testimony. Praise the Lord. And I want you to know that these things that I'm talking about today, this today is what God is telling you today. Amen? Amen. And this is what God wants you to do today. And if the person has said it, whose responsibility is it to bring it? The one who has said it. So now, if you take this word as another sermon, then you might not. But if you actually take it seriously, that if you really let this stay with you, and next week you're still thinking about it, and the other week you're still thinking about it, and by that time you've clearly identified what you want. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to start with. That means don't be intimidated by somebody else's what? What they are believing for. Let me tell you, there is, all of us expect growth of other people. Do you know that? You understand that? But when it comes to us, we do not put those things in place. I was actually talking to somebody, and I was saying that there's a certain restaurant, okay, and a food chain, where you go every day and they have changed something. They have changed something. And now you kind of like it because they have changed things and they seem to be moving. You understand? Because all of us are actually wired to like a bit ambula. You see, things which are moving. Now, if a restaurant is good today and it has not changed after 10 years, it is bad. Even if it hasn't gone back. Because there is a law of things have to be progressing. You understand? Because that's what happened with me. I remember the first Nigeria movie I watched because I was tired of Hollywood agenda. Hollywood agenda. And now that Nigerian industry would have filled in now that Hollywood is only showing Visiaga and what. But I remember the first movie, very, very poor quality. Appalling. But it was good because it was a start. You understand? But then, after 5 years, they are still making the same movies. Then after 10 years, they're still making the same movies. Then I said, man, I just threw them out. Because in your head, you're expecting that you are supposed to improve. And that's what the world expects of you. If you had a salary of 10 million in 2010, maybe that was a good job. But if you are still getting 10 million now, we are not sure if it's a good job. You see, Because in our mind, we expect that you are supposed to increase. And that is the natural progression of things. So do not let yourself stagnate, because anybody who stagnates is actually going backwards. Amen? There is no such thing as stagnating. You're either going forward or backward. So when you're pursuing things in your faith, you just know that because we are dealing with kingdom, if I finish this car house which I'm staying in, and now it is mine, I'll say, I'm bored. I want the other one. Then you also pursue it and get it. Then you say, I'm also bored. Now I want a block of flats. Now, then people see you and you're actually a testimony because you are progressing. You're not stagnated. But now somebody would even go and get one and say, hallelujah. Yeah, and those are the people who have money. Do you know, in 1997, I prayed for a guy and he got healed. But now sick people are doing what? Are passing him by. Reminds me of those preachers, I will end with this, who a guy went to China. From a certain church here where they talk big about miracles. They talk big. So, the guy went to China and wanted a katut. You know, there are those underground churches, what? You know, those things of wanting katut. So the guy went and told the pastor, that what? The Chinese guy. And you see, for us in our church, we believe in miracles. He said, eh? He said, the lame walk, the blind see. He said, hey, okay. Then the pastor stood up and wait. The next thing, he came back in the office with the lame person, that here he is. You pray for him and he walks. But the guy took off. Is that you said you believe in miracles? Eh? You can't hear. Lame people, blind people, okay, let me come. The guy came and said, still, there. You want a cartoon, you first demonstrate. Praise the Lord. We want by experience. Eh? We don't want by what? We don't want by rugambo. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say ownership. Say ownership. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amar The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.